I literally seen one guy was like a 25-year-old guy in just a pair of tighty whities skipping down the road at the Pride event. Yeah. So we preach the gospel to them, and we don't just let things happen out in the world and not go out and give them a witness of what's going on. We aren't Christians in the closet. We aren't Christians that are hiding our faith in the closet. Even a lot of these preachers, they're not confronting the culture. They're not dealing with this. Like, the Southern Baptist Convention is folding like an accordion in front of everybody. They're just absolutely folding. They're inviting the sodomites, the perverts, the transgenders. They're inviting in the feminists. They're inviting in every group of apostates out there. They're just and just devils, just wicked people, and they're inviting them in. You got the president of the Southern Baptist Convention over at Disney while gay days are going on and all that other stuff. He's skippity-doo-dahing down the road with his little buddy, his other little Southern Baptist Convention buddy. There's just, they've got Christians are just in the closet. You're telling me the Pride at the Park event in Northfield, Minnesota, Old Paths Baptist Church is the only church there out there confronting the culture, confronting what's going on, standing at the gates, right, of the city and saying, you know what, we're not going to let this go without giving you a warning that you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. But so many pastors are afraid to confront that. They won't talk about it on their YouTube page. They don't talk about it on in their sermons. Why? Well, because they're going to get kicked off. Well, big deal. Whatever. Kick me off. I'll find another platform. We'll keep preaching it until we can't. There's no place left for us to go. That we don't have any place else to preach it. Except in the streets until they kill us. But somebody's got to tell these people the truth. Somebody's got to warn them. Who's going to warn them? They're already after the kids. All the LGBTQ, they're all out of the closet. They've all come out of the closet. They come bouncing like Tigger out of the closet. Right? And who went in the closet? Well, the sodomites and the transgenders held the door open for the Christians to get in the closet. And now you know what older Christians are telling younger Christians? Oh, you better be careful. You might lose your job. You might lose your business. You might get fired if you get caught preaching with Pastor Cooley out there. You might just get fired. Well, what doth it profit, my brother, though a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What part of go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature don't you understand? Right? What part of that don't you understand? What part of that command are you exempting from? Right? What part? Think about that for a second. So you have all these old, you literally have older Christians that they're done fighting. They're just done fighting. They don't want to fight anymore. They don't want, and I'm not talking about with guns and knives and, because guess what? That isn't going to win the fight. I'm talking about fighting with the word of the living God. I'm talking about confronting that culture, going head on with them and saying, you know what? We're going to show you what the Bible says. We're not going to do that. We're not going to watch you go to hell and not warn you. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. You know what I'm seeing out there today? You can call it whatever you want to. Oh, I'm going to be smart and I'm not going to, you know, lose my job. Well, you know what? We very well may lose our jobs. But I said this a long time ago to Brother Paul. You know what I said to him a long time ago? Hey, Brother Paul, if we do it right, we just might lose our heads. If we preach it right, we just might lose our heads. Right? Hey, if we lose it, we just might. But you know what? Paul said something. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Actually, he said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come to you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. Also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, let me ask you something, older Christian. What if your brother in Christ lost his job? Would you be willing to financially help that brother in Christ? Or would you be more worried holding on to your own war bucks? Think about that for a second. Jeffrey Sellers, I hope you're doing well. I got to hit the button on my camera. All right? Hang on one second here.
Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby. Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning. And that good news.
You know, I mean, would somebody, you think about that for a second, like, would you be willing to help somebody if you went through that? Or if they went through that? That's, you know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you have all these older Christians now, they're done fighting, a lot of them are. Bible talked about men like that. Here it is. It's right here. There's a principle here. Numbers chapter 37, 32, verse 6 through 7. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over to the land which the Lord hath given to them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them unto Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. You don't think you might not be making God mad when you're trying to discourage other Christians not to get into the fight, not to preach the gospel, not to warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come? We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We could lose everything we have. This studio, all this stuff that I'm doing, the house that I live in, yeah, we could lose it all. Of course I don't want to do that. But you know what? If that means following the Lord, that means following the Lord. We don't have a choice. What's the choice? Right? What's the choice? To bring shame to my Lord? To bring shame to my Savior? To turn back and run like a coward? To watch my family go to hell? To have no fight in me so my children or my grandchildren wonder, my goodness, does he even really believe what he's talking about? Does he believe this book? Does he believe the scriptures? Does he really believe them? Does he really hold to this thing? Does it really matter to him? Is this really what he believes? Is this what he lives his life by? I don't want my kids wondering that. Let me ask you a question. Does your family wonder that about you? Do they wonder if you really believe that or not? And I'm basically talking to a lot of Christians that have been saved for a really long time. And they're surrounded in a world where these people don't hold to anything. They don't believe anything. And look what the Bible says will happen. And Moses said to the children of Gad and the children of Israel, again, he said, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here? Is that what's going to happen? Are you just going to sit here? Are you going to sit? Are you going to be in the closet? Did the sodomites hold the door for you so you could walk into the closet and slam it shut for you? Good question, isn't it? Is that what they did? Christians hiding their faith in the closet now. You know something? The last sodomite event that we were at. When we were at that event, the Pride in the Park in Northfield, right? When we were there, out there, when we were out there preaching, there was people that would walk up and whisper things to us of encouragement. Because they just did not want anybody to know that they were on our side. They were afraid to let people know that they were on the Lord's side. Right? So they're being closet Christians. I don't want anybody to know I'm yoked up with those guys or I believe like they do. I don't want anybody to know that. And then God forbid that there be other people, other Christians that just discourage them and say, you know, if you step out by faith and if you believe God's word, if you go preaching with those preachers against that sodomite agenda, against the LGBTQ people, you could lose your job. Yeah, well, if I don't go preach against that and go preach the gospel to those people and preach against that sin, we could lose the entire culture completely. We could lose the entire country completely. We could lose everyone around us completely. And it'll touch you, brother. It'll touch you. You don't think it will, but it will. You don't take that sharp stand on the scriptures. You don't quit you like men and be strong. I'm going to tell you something right now. What's going to happen is your family's going to be touched with that sin and wickedness. Blew out the audio. What happened? Is the audio out? Can everybody hear me okay? Rachel said the audio's out, so I'm just making sure you can hear me okay. Maybe I'm up here blowing an O-ring over here. That could be it. I don't know. Audio's okay, good. See, that's the thing. And by the way, I already get it. Do you know, listen, let me tell you what I'm not doing. I don't have an Elijah syndrome today. I don't think I'm the only one, okay? Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. I'm not crying. I don't need the wambulance called for me, right? I'm not doing that. I'm not feeling sorry for myself or anything like that. What I'm doing is I'm telling you, you know, I don't think I'm the only one out there, but what I'm telling you is this, is that if God's people don't stand up, and if God's people don't do right, if God's people don't warn sinners, right? If they don't get to warning sinners and preaching against this, if they don't preach the whole counsel of God, I mean, pastor, I don't really see how pastors can go through this Pride Month. I'm not telling them what to preach, okay? But I don't see how you can go through this Pride Month and not ever talk about that at all. Not ever confront it at all. Not ever deal with it at all. There is a major psyop going on right now. And it is a deafening, terrible psyop. And I'm going to show you Fox News' psyop. And I'm going to see if you can catch the psyop here, okay?
A little bit about the news from that swimming organization. They have approved a gender inclusion policy that means only they will only permit swimmers who transition before the age of 12 or puberty to compete in women's events. What does this mean ultimately for athletes?
Well, it's huge, and it's a massive, long overdue victory for basic common sense. You know, anyone who's tried to raise concerns about this issue, as I have now for several years.
Okay, stop. Basic common sense? Basic common sense is that there is no such thing as a boy becoming a girl.
Years gets immediately abused and called a transphobe and all the rest of it, when actually it's nothing to do with being transphobic. It's all about fairness. I support trans rights to fairness.
I don't support trans rights. I don't. That's just ridiculous. But the psyop, let me tell you the psyop that they're running. They're getting you to choose a transgender side. Do you see it? Do you see? They're getting you to choose which transgender you agree with. It's a psyop. That's what they're doing. They got you to choose which transgender side. So I'm making you choose between the good transgender, in quotes, or the bad transgender, in quotes. Not no transgender, which is my position.
And it's an equality, but I don't support their rights to diminish or degrade women's rights. And that's what was happening in sport. And we all knew it. You know, Caitlyn Jenner's been on Fox many times recently, just talking common sense about this. And she...
Wait, he say, well, Caitlyn Jenner is a guy. You mean Bruce Jenner? Bruce Jenner, you mean? These guys are all closet sods. They're all perverts. That's what they are. Here's Bruce Jenner right here. right? There's Bruce. He's a guy. He says, she's been on there. Do you see what they did? Are you getting it, what they're doing? They're totally psyoping you. They're getting you to choose an acceptable position of transgenderism. It's so wicked. It's so satanic. It's just absolute wickedness.
You should know, you know, as a male athlete, she was an Olympic decathlon gold medal champion.
No, he was. He was an Olympic gold medal champion. He was. That's a guy. That's a guy.
Obviously, if she was to now compete as a decathlete against women, she would have destroyed the field and broken records irrevocably. That's what this is about. It's about fairness and equality. So I applaud FINA. I hope that other sports authorities do the same. But what I also noticed in their ruling was that they're suggesting a new kind of open tournament, which would be for trans athletes. And I think that's the way to go. No-
See? So now they're going to get their own category. So you get to watch trannies go up there and compete, and now you're supporting transgender athletes. See how that works? See the circus? See the psyop? See the acceptance?
Nobody wants to see trans people unable to play sport.
I do. He said nobody wants to. I want to see them not be able to play sports. I want to see them get saved and get a brain in their head and stop snorting devils.
Well, it seems to me there are two choices. They either compete against their biological status. So if you were born a male, you compete against males, even if you're a trans woman. Or you have your own category and you compete against other trans women. And those seem to me to be the two right. fairest ways through this. So I think it's a really groundbreaking ruling. I'm glad it's happened, but why is it controversial? You know, we've got to stop portraying these kind of things as controversial.
Yeah, we've got to stop portraying this as controversial. We got to just think of this as regular everyday thing, that this creepy dude named Bruce Jenner, who's connected to Kanye West and all the Kardashians and all those other creeps, right? And all those other weirdos. Ah, what about all that? Bunch of wizards, bunch of sorcerers. What's going on? Okay, so you got the absolute sluttiest woman in the world, Kim Kardashian, who's an absolute witch. You have her mama, who's the head witch of them all. She tricked out this dude and made him go completely insane. Then look at every single boyfriend that those girls have had, and they tricked them out and made them weird too with their stinking voodoo magic. And then you have the sexual connotations and the fornication mixed with it. You got the cross-dressing mixed with it. And then you got the devilish satanic mixture of like guys like Dr. Dre working with Kanye West. You see what I mean? You got all these witches and all these sorcerers working together. It's all part of the agenda. And he said, no, this is all normal. No, it's not normal. It's perversion and confusion. And you sick, wicked devils want to teach it to children. You are teaching it to children. That's what you're doing.
Well, this it's not up to the average people, just the loudest people, it's controversial. But that's just my hope is, Pierce, this is going to ripple to other bodies and other sports, all the way down to the high schools, where they're going to go, yeah, I'm just going to go with what the world bodies are saying. And that's where the high schools will have cover for the protests and what have you. I think women have a right to compete against women. Since when is that a bad thing?
Well, I completely agree. And
I completely agree. Why do women need to compete against anything? And by the way, does anybody else think this blonde-haired lady right here is an absolute monarch, mind-controlled slave? Oh my goodness. I know I'm getting into Spookyville, but would you just look at her? It's just weird. I'm sorry. These people are strange.
I saw Megan Rapinoe, the big soccer star, women's soccer star today, undoubtedly brilliant at her sport, but she's come out condemning this ruling and saying you've got to be completely inclusive to trans athletes, to which I would say this. Megan, do you remember when you got beaten as world champions, the female American team, or world champions, and they got beaten 5-2 by a bunch of under 15-year-old boys? Now, I don't say that to score any points against the women. I think they're a terrific team, the American women's soccer team, as you call it. I prefer football, but I'll use the vernacular when I'm on your show.
Thank you.
But I think that they're right there. When she tweeted today her outrage, I'm like, really? Really, Megan? You were the best female team in the world, and you got beaten by a bunch of 15-year-old boys. And if we do take your logic to its natural extension, Megan Rapinoe, then what we should be fighting for then is gender-neutral sport completely, including the Olympics. And here's what would happen. Women would stop being able to compete in anything at a high professional elite level. Mm-hmm. Because we...
Well, that I would be fine with if they just stopped competing, period.
No, the reason is because men are born with superior physical bodies. Nothing else, not mental. I'm not saying they're more intelligent. In fact, oftentimes we're more stupid. But when it comes to physiology, you cannot dispute the advantage that males have from birth, and particularly...
Right. Oh, so what you're saying is there actually is a difference between male and female? These guys are so confused. Play so many games with people. Can't be honest people. I want to go on, my wife said good except for making cookies in the kitchen. I want to go on record to say that anytime we can plan a cookie making contest, I'm in. Not to make the cookies, I'm in to eat the cookies. I know I don't eat that every day, but when I do, I like to eat cookies. Anyway, all right, let's get back to this video here and the trans game, so to speak. The transphobia. Fox PSYOP. And by the way, I'm going to see if Andrew can take this video for me and cut out this video, this part, and just do a separate clip of like 20 minutes or 15 minutes, however long it is, on that, on this trans Fox PSYOP. I would love to just do a separate little thing on that. I think a lot of people would watch that. It would just show the truth. By the way, nobody here, this transgender movement, they're not in the closet. They're coming out and storming the gates. They're storming the churches. They're going to the churches. They've infiltrated the churches. They've opened the doors at the churches, at the meeting houses of the churches, to let them all in. Somebody asked me, if you remember right, they asked me at the event, Pride in the Park. They said, well, we'll just come to your church and just... we'll just see what you preach there, and then I'll be able to see. I said, no. No, you won't. That's Jesus? That exclusion is? Yeah, it is. Lady, people are going to hell. Right? People are going to hell. They're being excluded.
From puberty. And that is what is at stake here. And women's sport has to be defended. It has to be protected. And this ruling is fair and it's just and it will protect women's rights. And anyone who goes against it and says it's transphobic or whatever they want to say it is, they are the ones who are the problem in this debate.
Thank you.
Pierce, Stephen Colbert, his production team was at the Capitol and they went into...
We don't care about any of that. That's just a bunch of nonsense too. Anyway, so when you look at this, this is what those people are teaching. This is what the transgenders are doing, that the LGBTQ movement is doing. They've come full circle out of the closet. The Christians are in the closet. The Christians want nothing to do with warning sinners to flee from the wrath to come. They want nothing to do with warning them. Let me find. Hang on a second. Something else. So here's something else about this agenda, about this movement, just to show you that they're not bashful. They're not ashamed to promote evil. They're not ashamed to promote this LGBTQ movement. But where are the Christians promoting the gospel? Lansing, Michigan. Drag queens make everything better, and there should be a drag queen for every school, according to reported comments from Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. Nessel made the comments during a speech at a civil rights conference in Lansing, according to Craig Mauger of the Detroit News. Drag queens make everything better, she said. Drag queens are fun, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says at the civil rights conference in Lansing while speaking out against what she describes as an effort to divide people. A drag queen for every school, she adds. Well, you know, millstone is 9 times in the Bible. You know what the fruit of, literally, the fruit of drag queens is? What God's going to do to them? Millstones. Number 9, millstones. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, I do believe this is speaking of false prophets. I don't believe it's really talking about children in essence. It's talking about people but I think the principle is still the same from that standpoint. But as you can see here, this is the fruit of that perversion, right? God's got the millstones ready. God's going to deal with that. Not us. No, we preach the gospel. We don't kill people. God's going to deal with that. Their fate is much worse. They're headed for a much worse fate than anything you and I could ever do. Right? Let's get back to the subject at hand. Let's talk about Christians who are ashamed of the gospel. Well, in fact, let me go back to this. In a follow-up tweet, Mauger says Nessel admitted the drag queen for every school suggestion had not been poll tested. Nessel's speech reportedly concerned what she believes to be fake issues that are being used to divide people. She was mostly likely referring to the national controversy about allowing children at drag shows, which has been a hot topic recently. I'm just curious, would you let children at preaching events? Would you let Christians read the Bible to children in the public libraries? Would you have a problem with that? If we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah at the library, How about that? How about we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah to the children at the library? I'm good with that. How about you? Right? Why don't we see if we can read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah at the public library? We'll bring our wives with dresses and skirts and they'll be and our ladies dressed modestly and our men will be dressed in shirts and ties and look respectful and all that stuff, and we'll just go there and we'll read to them. We'll sit down there and we'll read to them. How about that? How about we do that? How about we go? Oh, I'll tell you. You want to know what the response will be? Let me show you what the response will be. I'll show you. Let me show you. I'll show you what the response will be. Here's what it'll be. I can't play their audio because it's so incredibly nasty. But they completely surrounded us. They screamed and hollered. They screamed and hollered to keep us down so we couldn't be heard. They blasted signs. This is a public place, right? They blasted perverted music, played perverted music so loud. Right? That's what they did. Hang on a second. I got to fix my camera here.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Find the glory, revive us again. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Okay, so this is what the response would be if we did that. By the way, worst response, if I had right now Andrew's video if I had video from Andrew right now that I could show you them screaming at us. I don't think it's not on this video. It's not on the one with the lady, but afterwards, if I could show you the video, if I had the video of these children screaming at us, right? You would see what their response would be. So they talk about the Proud Boys, right? They talk about the Proud Boys going in there and disrupting things. Well, what do you think all the pride people would do if Old Paths Baptist Church went to the library to sit down and have a Bible reading? I don't know. But I think we should find out, don't you? I think I should take my cameras down there, and I think I should roll, and I think I should ask, I should ask them if we can come and read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah at the library. I want to go ask the public, the librarian. I think that's a good idea. I think that I should do that. I'll have to, Brother Andrew and I have to figure out how to do that. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe we'll just try to see how we go about doing that. We'll take the cameras down there. We'll roll them and say, you know, I'm just wondering if we can read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah at the public library here and have a children's hour and invite children to listen to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and see what the public library's response is to that. I think that's a great idea. Don't you think that's a great idea? I think it's a great idea. Man, I'm starting to like that idea a lot. In fact, I think I'm going to do that. We'll figure out how to go about doing that. And we're going to take our cameras down there, and we're going to roll the camera, and we're going to ask them, well, how do we go about having a children's Bible hour here? And we'll read stories. We'll read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah to them, and then we'll read the story of redemption to them, how they can be saved. I think that's a great idea. So we could, I'm wondering if we could tell the true history of the LGBTQ community as found in the Bible, as found in Sodom. Maybe we could give the biblical history of the LGBTQ in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, why not? Surely they wouldn't exclude us from that, would they? We're going to find out. I guess we'll have to find out, won't we? I guess we'll have to find out if Northfield's favorite son could go to the public library and read the LGBTQ community, the history of the LGBTQ in Sodom, the biblical history of the LGBT community in Sodom. Well, we're going to find out. No. That's a public place. That's a public forum. That's not a school. That's a public forum. That's a public forum. That's not a public school. That's a public forum. They can't kick the Bible out of a public forum. Let's see what they say about that. I'm going to record it, and then I'm going to put the response on YouTube. So I'll put the entire video on YouTube, and we're going to go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and see how acceptant they are, right? How tolerant they are. After all, They brag about this thing. This is one of the things that we're at Miss Moxie here. A local country drag housewife who resides in Northfield. You're not a wife. You're a man. And you're never going to be a wife. Because you're a man. Ben Heflin said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to roll the cameras. I'm going to find out how we can do that. Absolutely. Well, that's why I'm going to have video. So they could see that I'm being very kind and calm and cool and collective. Ben Heflin said, you know this type of preaching won't make you popular or loved, right? Ben, I've been preaching for 15 years. I know full well what they're going to think about that. But we're going to roll it, and we're going to be calm, cool, and collective. I'm going to go in there just with me and Andrew. He's going to record. I'm going to come in. I'm going to say, how do I set up a Bible reading on the history of Sodom and Gomorrah here as found in the Bible for Bible Story Hour. Right? I figured since the drag queens can do it, I mean, surely you wouldn't discriminate against a Bible preacher, would you? And surely you wouldn't, would you? Miss Moxie is a local country drag housewife who resides in Northfield. In this show, she will take you to an adventure by sharing stories and life experiences along with a little dancing and lip syncing. Gross. Right, gross. Super disgusting. I'm going to write that. Super gross. There you go. Thought I would be kind and leave my name there. Well, they let Miss Moxie show up. Mr. Moxie, he gets to show up and he gets to even lie. He gets to even lie and say that he's a woman. At least I'm going to go there and say the truth. I'm a man. And I want to give you the biblical historical account of the LGBTQ community in Sodom and Gomorrah. Very historical. Very factual. I think that's a very kind thing to do. And then give them the gospel and tell them how they can flee from the wrath to come. I think that would be fine. Oh, I definitely want to see the Madam Librarian. And that's the one I want to ask, since she was so very kind to let Mr. Moxie, whatever that thing is. Cover that up a little bit. Sorry. Don't want to make you puke. Certainly, she could let Northfield's favorite son. Right? Certainly. She could let Northfield's favorite son come. And I assure you, I will be clothed and in my right mind. Right? So I think that's a wonderful idea, don't you? I think the Lord, he just gave it to me right when I was talking to all of you on here. Because I'm not a Christian in the closet. I want to do what they're doing. I want to go to libraries all over the country. And I want to read. I'm not the Proud Boys. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a preacher of God's word, and I'm an historian too. Right? So if it's okay for them to go and tell their story, it should certainly be fine for me to tell mine. We got to figure out how we're going to do that. You pray about it for us. I mean, after all, it's for the children. I mean, mind you, we won't be doing anything lewd or dirty. We won't be shaking dangly bits. We won't be walking around pretending to be something that we're not. We won't be lying to children. We'll be telling them the absolute biblical truth and historical factual information. Wonderful. And I just had another idea. But I'm not going to tell you about that one. I'm going to save that one. This will be interesting. I think my coffee might have killed this fly. I don't know. Yep, it did. Killed it dead. That wasn't coffee. Anyway, but I have another idea. It just hit me that I didn't do something that I was going to do. And I might just do it this week because I just thought of it. The Lord just showed me kind of a angle. Something to do. So, okay, good. We'll save that. Amen. So, I mean, surely Mr. Cooley, right? Surely Mr. Cooley can go to the Northfield Public Library. Surely. That sounds like a wonderful idea. We'll see if the Lord allows us to do that. But we're at least going to ask him, and I'm going to ask him on video, and then I want to show everybody what they're going to say. Hopefully it'll be yes. Right? Hopefully it'll be yes. Right? Praise the Lord. We're not going to be Christians in the closet. We're not going to be mean to people. We're not going to be violent. We're not going to be physical. We're going to take the word of God and we're going to simply preach the Bible. We're going to simply bring them the Bible, the word of God, because too many Christians are in the closet right now. When's the last time you told somebody that's part of the homosexual agenda that's near you that they were wrong and that they're going to die and go to hell? When's the last time you told them that? Maybe you got a family member involved with the LGBTQ movement. Maybe you got children that you know that are involved, or cousins that you know that are involved with that. When's the last time you told them the truth? That they need to be saved. They're proud. They come and broadcast what they believe. Look, they're so proud they go to the public library and recruit little kids. You do realize what this is, right? Let's look it up. Let's see. Let's see. Northfield. Let's see if we can find it here. See if I can find the one in Northfield here. That's Northeast. Let's see. I don't see it on there, but here's the point. They had it on their Pride in the Park thing. I don't know if I could find that. Maybe it was on that article. Let's see. Let's look for Pride in the Park, Northfield, Minnesota. Let's look at that. That's the article we just had, I'm pretty sure. Yep. So here they are all smiling and laughing, and everything's a good time, right? It took a librarian to make it happen, said Balzer, nodding across the table at Lloyd, a children's librarian at the Northfield Public Library. The idea of a pride event in our own town says a lot, said Lloyd. This is a wonderful for our community, Balzer said. Pride as a name means to stay proud of who you are. You shouldn't be proud of who you are. You should be ashamed of being a lost, wicked devil on your way to hell. And you should cling to Christ for forgiveness of sins. Let's see if we can find that. Maybe it's this one. Nope, that's not the one I'm looking for. Oh, you shared the link. Thank you, brother. Let me get to Facebook here. Here it is right here. Right? Drag Story Hour in Central Park. So here they did it here, the Drag Story Hour, right? There you go. That's where they did it at, right there in the park. So, you know, of course... You know, I wonder if they didn't want to do that actually in the library for a reason. What do you think? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're slipping things in. Incrementalism. Incrementalism, right? That's what they're doing. So think about it this way. So they're able to do that and promote that. I wonder if the public library will promote the reading of the account of Sodom and Gomorrah, the true history of the LGBTQ, right? Okay, let's see. I'll get some pictures for you here. Here's what happens when we read the Bible. See them all? That's what happens when we read the Bible. They surrounded us with music and blasted it all. Look at the, let's see if I can blow that up a little bit for you. There you go. Look at the signs. Not all Christians sound like this. Does this sound like Jesus? Is this loving your neighbor? See, they all surround. Look at how they're looking at us like we're the weirdos. Like, well, we are. We're clothed in our right mind. They blasted music so loud that you couldn't even hear it. You couldn't even hear the preaching. So we turned the haler on and we just cranked it up. And we said, well, okay. If you're going to give us a ticket, I'll see you in court. Because they're not allowed to stop me. They said, you have to have a permit. I said, okay. We'll see you in court. I used to give in to that whole you need a permit thing in Northfield, but then I got sick of it. You know why? Because they let these kids blast things. And I said, okay, turn on the haler and crank that thing up. In the words of Paul, crank that thing up. So as you see here, anger, they get extremely angry. I mean, you saw him following us out the door, right? You saw that. Let me see here. Following us out the door. Not out the door. I didn't mean it that way. They were following us out of all the way down to my vehicle, right? They were just following us along all the way out down to the vehicle. Why is that? Because this is their heart, but they're parading. Look at them. Look. Do these people look ashamed? Where are all the Christians? And by the way, back here in the corner, you see this little place right here? Let me zoom in on that. See this little place over here? There's a bunch of trannies and a bunch of little kids bumping and grinding over here in this corner on a stage with transgenders and with drag queens. That's what they're doing over there in the corner. So my question is this. Where are all the Christians? Where are they at? Where are all the preachers in town that are supposed to be preachers? Where'd they go? Why don't they stand up? Why don't they tell the truth? Why don't they warn these people? Oh, a lot of them are already in there. A lot of them are in there. Right? A lot of them are in there as a part of the program. They're supporting it. So what's the Bible say about that? Let's look at it. Matthew 5:16. Let your light. Oh, let's back up. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Where's the light shining? Here's another one I'll give you. Go to Romans 13. Says here, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. By the way, he's explaining what love is to your neighbor. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What does love do? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, look at this. This is what we're going to zero in on here. And that knowing the time, now, this time, the time we're living in, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Wait a minute. So he's saying the same thing Jesus said. We're to cast off the works of darkness. We're to put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what's going on right now? A bunch of timid Christians. I gotta fix my camera. That's what's going on. Hold that thought.
Break me, mend me, mold me, and fill me. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. A bunch of, like I said, a bunch of timid Christians. That's what's going on. Let me show you why Christians are so timid, though. This is a good reason. This will explain to you. This will help you understand why they're like this. Like, why are they? You might wonder why, or maybe you're like this and you're wondering why. Here's why. I'll show you why. Let's see. Leviticus 26, verse number 37. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. What happened to Achan and Israel? I'll show you. Joshua falls on his knees, right? But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. What happened? So there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Sherebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it, even among their own stuff. And therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. What happened? That's what happened. What's going on? That's what's going on. You got a bunch of Christians right now that are not walking with God. Some of them are living with pornography and fornication. They're living with wickedness. They're watching wickedness on television. Their families are into wickedness. They're not straightening their own houses up. The churches are full of idolatry. The churches are full of pornography. Their members are full of pornography. The churches are full of promiscuity. Their members are not living sanctified lives. They're not walking in the fear of the Lord. So this sodomite agenda comes, this LGBTQ agenda comes, and guess what? They cannot stand before their enemies. Brother Ross said, we had six people leave our church this week because we preached the gospel outside an abortion mill. Said we weren't being Christ-like. You know what I said to him? Amen, Brother Ross, you keep going. God weeded them out. And that's what happens. If people don't want to get right with God, they don't want to get on board, they don't want to stand firm in the faith and quit you like men and be strong and encourage some young men to rise up and do something for the Lord, then get out if you don't want to do right. This is because people are in sin. They got no boldness. they're living in sin. And when you're living in sin, what's the Bible say? You can't stand before your enemies. This is why they can't. This is why none of them have any moral high ground to stand before their enemies. Because they're not anchored in with the Holy Ghost. They're not walking in the fear of the Lord. They're not sanctified and walking in faith and living for God. And that's why they've got no power and they're like weak. Israel, God says this to Joshua. You want to know why you got your hides tore up? You know, you want to know why you got your backsides beaten? You want to know why you got whooped? Here's why you're getting whipped. Here's why you're timid. Here's why you can't fight. Here's why you got beat. You've been trafficking in the accursed thing. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. And God tells him how to get right. You want to get some holy? You want to say something? Listen, when I hear people telling people, oh, you better be careful about going preaching. Preaching to those sodomites and preaching to those LGBTQ, you could lose your job. You could lose this. You could lose that. I have one verse for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I got another verse for you. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Christ. And here's what the Lord said the answer is. Here's what the Lord said about it. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou couldst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. By the way, I'll tell you what. There's some members of churches that don't want to get right, and pastors are keeping them on their roles. Pastors are keeping them on their as a part of their ministries, and they're living in sin. They're living in fornication. They're not doing right. They're not walking with God, and the churches have no power. God says if they don't want to do right, and you confront them and you show them, and then you go one by one, and then you go two, and then you take the church, and they won't listen, get them out. Get them out. You vote them out till they want to do right. You don't have sinful people in the church living in sin, living in open sin. You don't do that. God says, up sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. People don't want to live right. All these pastors don't want to live right. They don't want to preach on the home because their home's not right. A lot of pastors out there, they don't want to preach on the role of the husband and wife because they're not following the role of the husband and wife. They don't want to preach on what it means to be a father. And by the way, if you haven't heard this sermon yet, let me get to it. I'm going to put it on YouTube tonight probably. If you haven't heard this sermon yet, boy, oh boy, you ought to. I preached it Sunday morning. And yes, it is 2 hours long almost. And I don't apologize for it either. About an hour and... goodness. Hour and 40 minutes. You listen to that sermon. Ye fathers, the dire need for male leadership. Listen to that. Let's get back to the Bible here. up-sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou couldst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. God said, you're not going to have any power. Right? Danielle says, well, I have to be honest. I'm an introvert and I get nervous when standing up for some things. Well, Danielle, there's some things you don't have to stand up as a lady. In that sense, there's some things that you don't stand up the same way a man does. You do stand up. My wife stands up for things. You know, but it's not the same as what I would do as a man or as a husband or as a father. But I appreciate your desire to stand up for some things. I know you have it. And God will bless that. He will. You just keep hanging in there. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing. See, they had an accursed thing, Israel. They couldn't stand before their enemies. So what'd they do? Ran back in fear. Same thing these guys, same thing modern day Christians are doing right now. They're in the closet. They're in the closet. So the LGBTQ jumped out of the closet, held the door for the Christians to go in it and slam the door. And when people are in sin, when churches are in sin, when they're not walking with God, they don't have the power of God. And that's what's going on. That's what happened to Israel, and that's what's happening now in the churches. No power. Won't stand up. Don't make their voices known. They're looking for politicians to deliver them. Well, I hate to break it to you, but the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are completely 100% LGBTQ. 100%. You want to know why men can't stand up and have boldness? Well, if they're in sexual sin, they're not going to be able to stand up against the sodomites. If they're guilty of looking at pornography, if they're guilty of practicing in pornography, if they're guilty and living in sin and wickedness, they can't stand before their enemies. How are they ever going to stand up against this? It's like Ezekiel 8 when God said, here, dig in the wall, dig a little further. You see this, Ezekiel? This is who they are. This is what they're doing. So men, Christian men, become very effeminate. Can't stand up for what's right. And then they not only can't stand up for what's right, they get angry at men that do. Check it out. Jacob's favorite Bible character, Caleb. Caleb. Let's see. Here it is right here. Watch this. Watch this. See, you want to have a spirit like Caleb, right? So the Israelites go and get the report of the land and they cut the 12 spies. We used to sing that song. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Anybody remember that song? I do. I remember that. I know Rachel Bicey remembers that song. Rachel, you were just singing it just now, weren't you? Your kids were singing along. We had a little sing along right there. I know you were singing. Hannah was singing it too. She's listening. She was singing it. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants, big and tall. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was, two saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember that song? Okay, anyway. But here's the 12 spies, right? And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Sodomites, and this ite, and that ite, and all the ites are there, man. All the ites are there. We are in trouble. We are surrounded by ites. Yep. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and on the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Okay, well, look at Numbers 14. So they already discouraged the people, right? All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Shouldn't we just go back to the world?" Right? Look at this. So Joshua and Caleb try again. "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.' But all the congregation bade stone them with stones." They not only discouraged him, man, they wanted to kill him. Reminds me of David's older brother. Remember him? Right? David was going to go fight. Look what he said. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" So what happened? David's like, "I'm going to go kill that giant right there." What? "I'm going to go kill him. Open his mouth against the Lord and blaspheming God. I'm going to go slay that giant." Well, David's older brother said, "Oh, you're just proud. You know, the only reason why you're going to preach to those people out there, you're just proud. You think you're better than us, and you're just proud." Well, don't mistake boldness in the Lord and being willing to preach God's word for pride. Every man has to deal with pride, and especially myself. I know it. And God's humbled me, and I've been through it. But I'll tell you one thing there, older brother. Let me tell you something. You ain't getting me to shut my mouth, because I'm going to say to you exactly what David said. Is there not a cause? You might go into that closet and die in there, but by God's holy grace, I ain't going in that closet and dying. I'm going out swinging, man. I'm going out taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I'm going out fighting. I'm not letting them eat my children up. I'm not letting the inhabitants of the land have my children. I'm not letting them have your children. I ain't going to let them have your grandchildren. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I'm going to preach it to those heathens out there. And I'm going to tell them that there's a God. You can go to sleep in the closet like the sods were in there. You open the door for them and let them back out. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm going in there and dying. I'm not turning tail and running back. I came here to stay. I was called by Almighty God to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. We got a duty. Our children, our grandchildren are going to grow up in a world where they don't even know what boys and girls are. And you think it's going to matter if we lose our jobs? What about the souls and the minds and the hearts of this generation? No, I'm here until God moves me from here and takes me home. And until then, I have to bark as loud and as often as God allows me to and gives me grace to. But some have gave up the fight. Some quit fighting. They're done fighting. They don't want to fight anymore. So they just roll over and play dead. They look at the LGBTQ and they say, hey, thanks for opening the closet door for me. You sound like Lot and Sodom. Yeah, you made it out of Sodom, brother. Sodom never left the hearts of Lot's wife and daughters. But you notice something. They were all mad at the bold, God-fearing man of God that stood up and preached the word of God. They slandered the man of God. They wanted to stone the man of God. Right? And I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the LGBTQ. I'm talking about Christians. And we just stand there, all of us, and we're saying, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Look around you. Is there not a cause? You going to go in and go to sleep? You going to discourage the hearts of your brethren that are out battling and warring? You going to give up the fight? You going to quit? Why? Because you might lose some money? Because you might lose some money? You might lose your job? I'd rather lose my job than lose my integrity. I'd rather lose everything I have than lose the respect of my Lord. Paul said he counted it all but dung that he may win Christ. Right? God showed me that even ravens can feed me. You think about those things. To lose the favor and the power of God on your life by trafficking in the accursed thing by walking away from the Lord, by just stop fighting and giving up and walking away and being like, eh, at ease in Zion. You just watch your grandkids and your children go to hell because you're too much of a coward to tell them the truth. You're too much of a coward to warn them. You're too much of a coward. You're afraid you're going to lose them. You've already lost them, brother. You've already lost them. Quit, you like men, and be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Look what the Bible, after Paul gives his masterful treatise on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel and the resurrection, he says something at the end, after death is defeated. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, listen closely. Listen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast soldiers. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, I'm going to play a song. And give you a chance to say hi.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by.
Danielle said, what's up with the music, man? It is good for your soul. That's why. You need it. God gave music as a gift. And we enjoy it. And it's good for your heart. It's good for your mind. And it's good to praise God with music. Amen? That's why we have it. That's why, Danielle. That's why we have it. Anyway. So, hope you're all doing well. And trusting the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord. Let's see. Pray for us as we battle on. Amen. We've got that event coming up Saturday. Saturday we'll be at Pride, Twin Cities Pride. You pray for us. We'll be at Twin Cities Pride. And so please be in prayer for us there. That'll be a really rough one, probably. On another note, Sunday afternoon after church and all that, my wife and I will be taking off for a couple days to celebrate our 20th anniversary with little Gideon. We'll be taking him with. We're going to go somewhere in Wisconsin there for a couple days and just get away. And we'll be back on Wednesday for church. So no broadcast Monday, no broadcast Wednesday, possibly a broadcast on Friday. Okay. Yeah, the screen's blank. I haven't been back over there. So to reset it, and that's okay. We'll just leave it like that. But anyway, so anyway, you pray for us and all that good stuff. About that we have a good time and that we're rejoicing that the Lord has given us 20 years. Amen. Hopefully the Lord will give us another 40. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love to have another 40 years. So we'll see what the Lord will do with that. Amen. But anyway, so praise the Lord. But that will be coming up at the weekend here, at this coming weekend. This coming Sunday, we'll take off for a couple days after church. So anyway, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you could mail us something at the bottom of the screen right here. We do Apple Pay and all kinds of different forms of giving that people do. So anyway, definitely eating some cheese. That's right. But when we get over there. So anyway, you pray about what the Lord would have you to do with any of that. The central air unit will be, our AC unit will be installed on Saturday night. So Lord willing, that'll be finished. So we'll look at that and see what happens there. And all that good stuff, okay? All right, anyway, God bless you all. Take care, and Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday.